Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
He is my local basketball expert. He's your local basketball expert. He is the nation's leading authority in hobos, heroes, and street corner clowns. He knows Sam Sausage Head. It's Keith Easterwood making the big interview.
The Big Interview, presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. It's the one and only Keith Easterwood.
He ran.
Yep.
Die, Brad, die.
Local basketball expert, talking hobos, heroes, and street corner clowns on 92.9's Gary Parrish Show.
Easterwood, what's up with it?
I'm watching these college-educated national champions go to the White House and eat cold McDonald's. And I'm just I've been to the White House, and so when you go, like, you just can't pull up, run up in the White House. So, and I'm trying to think geographically where the nearest McDonald's is. I mean, luckily, I've been able to travel on other people's dime, so I've been to D.C. Quite a few times. So I'm trying to think, you know. You had to fix all of it. You had to transport it. And then you got it set napkin. I mean, and look, whatever you believe politically, I think to get an invitation to go in the White House and respect the office, and I get all that. I get if you don't want to go. I'm okay with that. But to lay out cold McDonald's, I mean, look, the Clemson – crew had to be in excess of 100, and then other guests. So now you've got, I don't know, 150 plus people. I mean, you can't eat cold. You can't be drunk enough to eat cold McDonald's. I mean, I look at this and I'm like, you know, I don't know. I mean, prime rib, something. Give me something better than that.
It's funny. My first thought when I saw the food lying out on the table like that was that there's no way that stuff could be warm. Like it's a process to get it there, and like there's no way those hamburgers are warm and they weren't warm. And so I tweeted yesterday, you know, something because the pictures were popping up on Twitter and it was just funny. It was just funny. Like and I was like, man, this is amazing. And then like people immediately like just start, oh, you know, liberal this and liberal that and make America great again. I'm like, shit. Dude, I'm not outraged.
They're called burgers.
I'm not outraged. I just think it's funny. I just think that you, in a million years, you would have never imagined you would go to the White House for any reason and eat Wendy's. All right? Like, it is amazing in that regard. Plus the fact that Clemson, and somebody found this on the Clemson website, literally has a guy on staff who's a nutritionist and, like, food coach who, like, works with the players to avoid the exact types of foods that they were eating at the White House yesterday. To be fair, the Clemson players, to a man, seem to enjoy it. Overwhelmingly, right. So like, good for them. And again, it's not outrageous. Like, my God, if you want to take shots at the president of the United States, there's a whole bunch of place to take them besides him putting out Wendy's and Burger King for football players. But it was like just a funny scene. The pictures are just funny.
Yeah. So here's a question. I could call you, but you won't answer your phone. So we're going to Vegas next month out of Atlanta.
Okay.
And I talked to Mr. Barron today and some other people who are traveling. So with the TSA stuff and all that, now they're staying in Atlanta, get there 3 hours early, our flight's at 6:30. You're in airports more than probably anybody I know, so is it bad?
No. I mean, listen, I've got every advantage you can have, right? I've got TSA pre-check, I've got clear, and so I'm not even joking. It takes me a minute to go through security.
Well, I ain't you, so.
Like, I mean, but like, I'm telling you, if you are planning on traveling, it's worth the money. I mean, I don't want to tell people what to do with their money, but like, it is, if you've got the money, it's worth the money. Even at LaGuardia, which is an incredibly busy airport, I'll be through security in 3 minutes. I mean, no problem. With this clear thing I have, what I do is I walk through a special TSA pre-check clear lane. So, like, there's nobody in it. It's just me. So I walk through there. I put my two fingers on the thing. My face pops up on the screen.
That's what she said.
It confirms me. It confirms that I'm me. And then somebody working for Clear walks me through past the security person just straight to where I need to put my bag on the conveyor belt. Like they'd walk, it's like they're walking me through security like I'm a celebrity and
GP.
They need to get me out of there, but it's
GP.
Not. It's just something you have to pay for.
Yeah, well, we ain't you. So, I put plastic bottles of vodka in my suitcase, okay? So, I'm trying to be slick.
Yeah.
So, but I just wanted to know because
I know I don't think it's nearly as bad. It's not bad for me ever, but like
I bet not. You're Gary Parrish.
Well, no, I'm just like somebody who paid for to have this access. That's all I am. Nobody gives me anything because I'm Gary Parrish. It's because
did CBS reimburse you?
For that stuff, no, I don't think so. I never filed it on expenses. But as much as I travel, I need to make it as simple as possible.
I got you. No,
and
you
these
do.
Things make it as simple as possible.
Okay, so now what are we talking about?
I don't care. What do you want to talk about?
Well, I mean, Duke got beat. I really think that Duke team is not built for the tournament because they don't have a lot of depth. And I've watched them a lot. We had Stan Jones on, and I talked to Stan privately, and Florida State probably should have beat them. I don't know what happened on that switch on the pick, and I won't get into all that. And Reddish hit the three. I take Dino Tragonis yesterday. You know Dino runs the Pangos camp from Belmont Shore, and he was dynamite, man. And that'll go up on the KeithEastwood.com show, whatever that's all about, podcast tomorrow night. Tony Harris is doing a podcast himself. You can get that, and that's without me. And he's got, and I asked him, I said, kid, why now? I said, Keith, this made me, and you and I talked about it last week. He said, Keith, I feel lifted that this is off my chest. There's things that we've talked privately. It's weird when we compared notes when I would say, hey, this happened, this envelope happened. He was like, I heard about that. And then he would tell me, this happened, that happened. I say, Tony, I heard about that. So anyway, whatever he does, Facebook Live and a podcast, but it's without me, although somebody will, pitch a bitch and throw it at me, whatever. But and you and I talk privately. The kid did what he did, Gary. I don't know why. I can't tell you timing of, somebody going in and saying, hey, I killed somebody 20 years ago. So anyway, but if you're interested, it's a good story. iTunes, Apple Tunes, Your Tunes, My Tunes, Looney Tunes, whatever. Tigers 11-6. So what's going on? I mean, he tried to play the seniors. And I thought about it, and I've talked to a lot of coaches. When you build your own team, when you recruit your own guys, those are your guys. So you know the girlfriend, the dog, the dad, the mom. You've been in the living room. And it's a courting process. Recruiting is I told Sonny one day, I said, damn, Sonny, I'm dating 50 people. And so you build your own team, but when you inherit a team like Penny did, everybody don't buy in. And I would say this to Tiger, and Tiger fans are notorious for this, and I am too. You put that Maceo battle, or you can go through whoever, you put that Tiger jersey on, and you a Tiger. And people love you. And sometimes you can't play dead in a Western movie. Thank you, John Wilfong. But I think there's a separation going on now with the seniors and quote-unquote. People tell me this. Oh, that's your guy. No, he ain't my guy. He's the best player. I got an 11-year-old who can play his ass off. I need him shooting the ball more than a kid who's dyslexic. Okay, I don't need that. And so I think you're seeing some issues with that team. I hope it works itself out. Hope they manifest itself into whatever. I think you're looking at 18, 19 wins. And then can you get to the tournament in Memphis and win three in a row? I don't know. But I think if you look, and I say this respectfully, Jeremiah Martin committed to Tennessee Chattanooga. He committed to Louisiana Tech. Josh took him at the last minute, which tells me the basketball world thought he was probably a mid-level Division I guy. There's nothing wrong with that. I wish I was a mid-level Division I guy. And if you go through the other seniors, the route they took to get to Memphis, had Tubby not offered them, they probably were at, I mean, and I say this respectfully, were they at Austin Peay? Were they at Middle Tennessee State? There's nobody above Memphis that offered them. But unfortunately, and I see this all the time, I'm dealing with a kid now, they take what they think psychologically, mentally, egotistically is the biggest school, and they take that offer. But when you get in there, the pecking order is you're not better than the guys that they already recruited. And I'm dealing with the kid right now. I'm like, hey, man, look, just enjoy the ride, enjoy the process, you know, figure it out. You're traveling, you got the gear, you got Nike product, you got this, you got that. You're eating well, you're living well, you're in the dorm. And so I would think that had you not had them, then I don't think most of those guys would have put Memphis uniforms on.
No, and I think David Wingett is going to be an example of that probably going forward because, you know, they come in late. They've got a scholarship. His best offer is probably South Dakota State. So Memphis comes in late, and he's like, whoa, it's Memphis. It's Mike Pillner. It's Penny Hardaway. I'm going to Memphis. But what you realize is that, and I've talked to parents about this before, you're always going to be like, this is the, like, next year's roster is going to be better than this year's roster. One after that right. should be theoretically better than that one. So if Wingett can't play on this team, how's he going to play on next season's team when there's better players? What about the right. season after that? And you end up transferring. I think it's always important to dream big, be confident, but also be realistic and go somewhere where it looks like you'll have a chance to play as opposed to have to beat out a bunch of guys who are almost all rated higher than you to even get a chance to sniff the court. Like, Wingett decided to take the biggest offer he could get, but now, you know, I don't know that he's ever going to be a meaningful player.
No, and look, over the years, you know, the Sesame Street game of one of these belongs, one of them don't. So you got Memphis, Alcorn State, Grambling, Louisiana Tech, Florida International. And most guys, again, egotistically, will take, if it's not Memphis, whatever, Ole Miss or Tennessee, whatever, they'll take the biggest offer. And so what, you know, I got a kid that texts me every day. He's playing NAIA basketball. He's like, Keith, help me go somewhere bigger. And I'm like, bro, we took you everywhere and everybody saw you. You are what you are and you are where you need to be. And you're going to school for free. You got three squares and, you know, you ain't paying for no books and you ain't paying for no dorm and you're getting Pell money back. So you're living a pretty damn good life. And so, no. And Wingett may be the guy, like you said, that got over-recruited. I think they probably saw him because he can shoot the ball. Now, granted, he shot a lot. He ain't made a lot. But he may be a guy that got over-recruited. I will tell you this, you know, with the guys they've already committed, and DJ Jeffrey is going to be a monster. More and more and more when you talk to people, when you watch them play, you're like, oh, my God, that kid. I can see why Cal got him to commit to Kentucky early. So maybe he's going to get over-recruited because they're recruiting at a high, high level. Can they get everybody? I don't know. We're stealing about Hurts. We're stealing about Watford. I think Watford is really – you know, a guy that is going to be a Tiger. What Hurts, I don't know. I do know this. Mike Miller in 1 week took a private plane and went up and watched him three times in 1 week to show the interest that the staff has in him. But having coached, I don't know, Gary, what, over 4,000 games, I'm stupid. Now I got a bunch of 11-year-olds, and the mama's telling me how they shoot in the driveway with her rebounding and, you know, he beats his little brother up and whatever. To watch what's going on with this group, I think there's maybe, and I don't ask certain members of the staff because they're too honest with me, but I think maybe now these seniors were not recruited by the current staff, and that's a hell of a staff. I can't imagine playing for them guys, man. And Sam's now in the huddle cussing people out and going off. I'd love it. I'm like, yeah, get them, you know. And Madlock's doing what he's doing, and Mike Miller and Penny's showing an edge now that maybe we didn't see early in the year, which I love. I mean, I think fans want to see that emotion from him that he's not happy. He's not happy that they're not winning. They're not happy that they're not beating teams they're not supposed to be. They're winning the games they should win, right. But they're losing to people that they've been picked to lose to. They got to pull one of those out of the hat. But I do think right now, unfortunately, there might be somewhat of a disconnect between the guys going out and the guys that are there.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, they if you look at the stats, the season statistical totals, you've got, you know, a bunch of key players who had never met before, you know, they'd only known each other less than a year, right? Played with. So you're trying to get Tyler Harris and Alex Lomax and Isaiah Maurice and Antoine Jones. Like, those are all rotation players. And you're meshing them with rotation players who were here under a different staff. Kevin Davenport, Jeremiah Martin, Kareem Bruton, Mike Parks, Rainier Thornton. And so you've got a pretty close to even number of fresh faces and guys who have been here at least 2 years, and in Jeremiah's case, four, and that can be difficult. I've talked to coaches about that. When you are relying heavily on a group of first-year players, not just a first-year player or two, but a group of first-year players, and it comes in some cases at the expense of the older guys, it can be something that you have to really be careful about managing. It can be complicated.
No, and you have to manage that. And then, again, it's a different level. When I came here the year we won the national championship, this group of guys I had went 10-28. Now, two of them are playing for Forbes at ETSU. One of them's playing at High Point. 10-28. That's a long summer. I can't do it. And so we're into everything, you know, and I'm preaching and we're working. This kid who, again, texts me every day, he's like, "Hey, bro, I ain't buying what you selling." I'm like, "Well, trust me." So when we went, rather than they went 10-28, they went like 38-4 and won a damn national championship. At the end of it, I'd be like, "Okay, I got what you were selling." So maybe some of those guys are not buying what Penny's selling. And then you have to understand this. This is unfortunate. Whoever is playing collegiate basketball thinks they're going to go play pro somewhere. Is it the Philippines, the G League, all those guys? Guess what? I guarantee if you talk to them individually, they think they're going to play in the NBA. I don't see any senior on that team that's going to get a cup of coffee in the NBA. Will they get in the summer league? Yeah, but hell, me and you can go play in the summer league in Vegas. So there's a lot of moving parts, a lot of minutia, and so they think, and they got family members, and they got this, and they got their boys, and they got their guy. Hey, you ought to be getting, you ought to be doing, you ought to be shooting. There are guys on this Memphis basketball team, and I say this respectfully. Look, I love the staff. I like what they're doing. I'm excited. But there are guys who catch the basketball, and I know they're going to go shoot it. They predetermined in their mind, F it, I'm going to go get me a bucket or go. And it doesn't flow in the offense. It doesn't look good. It doesn't look good on them. And when you have, because I'm blessed to know NBA coaches and scouts, and I get scouting reports and player reports, and you know they don't have to share that with me, but I really enjoy reading it. But there are guys who catch the basketball on this Memphis basketball team, and you can watch it and figure out yourself, and they have predetermined, I'm shooting this shot no matter what the defense is doing, no matter who's open. And to me, just watching from afar, it's troubling. I would say this to Tiger fans, man, enjoy it. Enjoy Penny. Enjoy the staff, the excitement, 15,000 people at home games. And let's get through this year the best we can, the bumps in the road, 18, 19 wins. I mean, I would think given the excitement around him and the way they draw, even if they don't win the tournament, the NIT's got to find him somewhat attractive, which gives you more practice, more games, more development for the young people. So that would be my hope. You win three, you're in the tournament. If not, you hope there's enough excitement, the fan base has spoke, and the NIT would find you somewhat attractive.
That is Keith Easterwood. He's my local basketball expert with me every Tuesday in the first hour. Thanks, baby. I love you. I'll talk to you next week.
Hey, keep me updated on this airport traffic. I don't want to get stuck in Atlanta.
I think you're going to be all right. I'll see you.
All right, baby. Buddy. Love you. Thank you.
Love you. Bye-bye. That's Keith Easterwood, 92.9 FM ESPN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.